On this week's episode of Devil's Trap Podcast, it's DIY Shock Therapy.
And Benny, why so many shirts?
Let's do this.
Welcome to this week's episode of Devil's Trap Podcast. I'm Diana.
And I'm Liz.
And we're going to talk Season 8, Episode 9, Citizen Fang.
Fantastic.
Indeed.
Indubitably.
Shirt even says it. There we go. All right. How are you this week, Liz?
I'm sore.
Sore?
Yeah.
Hey, now.
Yeah, no, not from anything fun. Well, I guess it was fun. I went to a splits workshop, and so it was basically 90 minutes of hip flexors and just weird like wall stretches and just, I don't know, but it was also lots of fun. Like, you know, like we were like doing like working and getting the splits while like rolling out your calves. Like that was super nice, but those to the back of my legs, so like she took the instructor though, like took a picture, like we were like working like against the wall. We're basically doing like a forward split where like you're, so I guess imagine like someone doing the split standing like with their back against a wall but with one leg on the wall behind them, right?
Oh wow, okay.
So I can't do that, but you know, so but to work on it, what you do is you basically put your leg up, you know, in like kind of like a perpendicular way, and then you like work, and then eventually you work, and then you are all the way flat against the wall, and you're doing the splits. Like, huh. I don't look like that though. And the instructor, like, there was people in this workshop who clearly did, and the instructor was like, "You all look great. Can I take a picture?" And I'm like, "Oh my god." Everyone else is like, sure. And I'm like, so they're going to be like all these like super, like there's always like graceful, like people like all with their legs, like splayed out the splits against the wall. And there's this like little goblin, like in the corner with like a little leg, like just a little tiny leg, like pressed up against the wall. And just like probably just like sweat, like dripping down from my face. But you couldn't see my
splits are hard.
Yeah, no, it was a super hard class, but I really, it was fun. And you know, 90 minutes is like that always, it doesn't seem that long until like you're like in a class for 90 minutes. You're like, my attention span is not like for this anymore.
That's a very long time.
That was
very long time.
At the end, she was like, okay, I built some time in for Shavasana. And the girl, there was this girl next to me who, bless her, like probably like early 20s, but you know, I can't judge age. She could have been 5 or like 90. I don't know.
5 or 30, who knows?
But she was a very tall and I think a dancer and was asking like, you know, the instructor just like, can you just help me? Like she's like, why can't I get my split down? She was like 3 or 4 inches off the ground. I just wanted to be like, you have fear butt. But it wasn't my class, so I didn't say that. And so, but when we get to the end and the instructor is like, you know, we have time for Shavasana, that girl goes, are y'all just doing yoga stuff now? And then everybody, because there's like, it's just like 6 or 7 people in this class. And and everyone's kind of like, what? And we're just like, yeah, we're going to lie down. And she's like, well, yeah, we're just going to rest. I'm going to come around and like put a cool towel on your head with some essential oils. And I'm like, fuck yeah, like, and all the rest of us are like, this is what we're here for. And she's like, yeah, I'm gonna go, I just wanted to work on the splits. And we're like, and she left, the door shuts, and I was like, what the fuck? And like, I feel bad because as a person who sometimes thinks like, and I know this is apparently an ADHD trait that you think other people are talking about you, or maybe it's a narcissist thing, but that poor girl should know that we were all talking about her when she left, and just not understanding why she wanted to leave before they turned off the lights and they put a cold towel with like some nice essential oils on it. And like that instructor I really like, who's when she goes around, I'm sure she's doing some yoga thing, but she like presses it into your forehead, like right into your temples, and then kind of like drags it down. Like, so it's this nice little forehead massage while aromatherapy is like drifting over you. And like, I just like fucked a wall. Like, I would really like to have this essential oil, but I don't know. I just like, are you guys doing yoga shit? Was like the funniest thing.
I mean, I feel splits, girl.
I do too. And
I also would I wouldn't have laughed, but I wish I would have.
Well, the thing is like, I don't know, because like sometimes like I sit there and that will like be when my mind like explodes, like it was like I just want to leave, but I was really tired because we just worked out for 90 minutes and that towel feels really good because it's cold and I couldn't move. So yes, I want to lie there like a bug or that's a fair. Corpse for like a good 5 minutes, and it's not because I'm trying to reach a conscious self, it's I just want to lie here with this cold rag on my head because it feels good.
Yeah, that's okay too.
Oh yeah. So what about you?
I went and I guess what have I done? I went and ate a delicious dinner at Niwa for beet night on leap day, which was super yummy as usual. And then we went to Billy Bob's in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
World's largest honky tonk.
And you took an epic picture.
Yeah, to see we went to go see Taylor Honeycutt, who is an up and coming country artist out of Alabama, who I am a super fan for right this minute, even though her first album fully hasn't even come out yet, and I am sold. She's a badass and she's really nice and she gives really good hugs. So if you give, I mean, I don't
that sounds creepy,
hug y'all, like randos,
like it was like really, you should go see her, like, she'll give you a good hug.
No, please don't. I'm not saying that. Go see her because she's a badass musician from Alabama. Do not ask her for a hug. That's weird. But anyways, no, it was a super fun night and saw a bunch of friends. Got to see buddies from like what Vandaliers folks were there and Summer Dean. So a lot of like Dallas Fort Worth music folks were there. And so that was pretty cool. And yeah, got to hang and chat with folks. And
did you see any ghosts?
Big old steak dinner at Cattleman's beforehand. We did not eat calf fries. We missed the bull riding, unfortunately. So I was kind of bummed, but it was just the way the time worked out. So, but no, it was good. And we did, Babe and I took a pretty epic picture on the photo op bull. Maybe I'll share it. It's pretty good.
I thought it was pretty good. All the people I've sent it to have also thought it was good.
I've gotten a lot of comments, so it's pretty funny. But yeah, the disappointment is that Babe did ask if he could take his shirt off for a picture.
And they said no.
And he was told, they said no, it's against policy.
Emphatically no. We had to make a policy, and you know why, Doug. Way to go, Doug. You ruined it for everybody.
Pretty funny. But yeah, no, Billy Bob's is a cool spot. If you're in Fort Worth, it's worth checking out just for the spectacle of it all. But there's always music. There's a bunch of pool tables. Very, very Fort Worth, Texas. So it was fun. That was it. I mean, that's my big thing. Other than just watching a bunch of TV this weekend. Yay.
That's also exciting.
There you go.
Good times.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least you had something to watch. There's nothing to watch right now.
I'm also watching, I watched Wolf Like Me, and then I'm also watching Insatiable, which is, it came out a couple years ago on Netflix, and I don't know how I feel about it, but I'm entertained because it's just so bizarre. And then, of course, it's Love is Blind season, so I'm deep in that world. Deep in that world.
Cool.
Golden goblets. So yeah, there we go.
Well, there is a new Noel Fielding show that I do want to. There's some good British comedy that's coming out. But anyhow, yeah. So it's March. Today is Texas Independence Day when we're recording. So that's a thing that happened on today. Yes. And today was also like 89 degrees. That was also a thing that happened today.
I love it.
Yeah, I also, there is part of me that gets very nostalgic because this is a time, like, in our elementary schools where we would have rodeos and fiestas and we'd have, like, the bike rodeo. And so those things will all happen, like, during these next few weeks. And so there is a part of me that's like, oh, like, I want to go to, like, you know, we just had the San Antonio rodeo just finished here. But, you know, we're moving into the spring season. So it's always a good time.
Yeah.
So are you ready to talk about this thing?
Yeah, I am.
Well, I mean, there is some good, I don't know. It could have been better for that. I've got some points I will call out on why wasn't Benny naked more? Okay, so.
I mean, always a valid question.
Always a valid question. Oh. So Citizen Fang is a reference, if you couldn't figure that out, according to Supernatural Wiki, to Citizen Kane. For her. It was season 8, episode 9, first aired December 5th, 2012. It was directed by Nick Copus, and this was the only episode of Supernatural that he had done. He is, however, a prolific TV director and producer, originally from Yorkshire, England. And his credits include Nikita, Arrow, The Flash, Siren, Lethal Weapon, American Gods, Animal Kingdom, Bel-Air, Titans, and a number of other things. And is currently in production to direct 3 episodes of the new Amazon version of Cruel Intentions. And I think this is very controversial. I don't know what the fuck they're doing. So in this version, 2 ruthless step-siblings will do anything to stay on top. In this case, of the Greek life hierarchy at an elite Washington, D.C. college system. They'll do, after a brutal hazing incident threatens the entire Panhellenic system, they'll do whatever's necessary to preserve the power and reputations, even seduce the daughter of the Vice President of the United States. What the fuck does that have to do with Cruel Intentions? I mean, obviously, I can see, like, the power things, like, will go, but y'all made a Greek? Greek.
Weird. Weird.
What Delta Delta is, I don't like it. It's no Sarah Michelle Gellar saying that. All right, so it was written by Daniel Laughlin, and this was, like, last week's was the first time that Andrew Dabb had his solo credit, and this is the first time Laughlin had his solo credit. So I think that's nice how they each of you had their next time.
Back to back.
Back to back. So our intro, our prequel, our recap starts off with a flashback to the mental hospital with Martin.
Yes.
And Amelia Dawn Crap, and then Benny.
Yep. And our episode opens at Goodry's Cajun Cafe in Carenco, Louisiana.
And they've got oysters, po' boys, and gumbo, and that sounds so good. And they have this neon, and it's got the super alligator.
Alligator. And then Born on the Bayou by CCR is playing. And
this is a real place that is outside of Lafayette. Oh.
Is it?
Yes.
Exciting.
Yes. No, I almost went there this week, but I had shit to do.
Your research trip.
I was like, I will jump. I was like, well, the problem is also because it's Lafayette. Like, it's just, you have to fly, like, you can fly into New Orleans and then drive, like, it's like a 2.5 hour drive from New Orleans. And then it was just like, this is the only time, like, I would consider going, like, March. Like, it's, the mosquitoes probably aren't that bad. Yeah.
Well, we've got the woman behind the counter is telling Benny how to shut things down for the night, but she calls him Roy, and we find out her name is Elizabeth. And so she's getting ready to leave, and she walks out, and Roy's going to shut things down for the night. And there's old dude at the counter who's creeping on fucking Elizabeth. Gross. And then we've got Martin is sitting at one of the booths drinking some coffee.
No, he's not drinking his coffee. He's banging his coffee cup on the table and asking for a refill like a douchebag. Oh, fuck you, man. Like, immediately, I'm just like, fuck you. That's so rude. Never, ever. I don't know why I should have to say that. Like, you shouldn't have to be told to not do that.
No. Well, Benny closes up. It's all dark. He's walking through the woods near there. So, I don't know what's happening.
Elizabeth gave him a very long list of instructions about how to close down, and they were very specific. And he left, and those neon lights are all still on. And I think that is a close down fail. I think you have to close those things off. One, you're just wasting electricity. Two, like, that electricity is probably really old. It's been there for a while. Like, that neon could catch fire. And then Gucci's, or whatever the fuck is that in Cajun, is just gone.
I don't know. I don't know if you're supposed to turn the neon off.
There was, like, a lot of excessive neon that, like, I would say it gets turned off. And just, you don't generally, like, if you drive down the street, like, there's usually neon lights that are gone. So.
Yeah. Well, Benny's walking through the woods for some reason, and Martin's stalking him, and then Martin trips and falls over a dead guy who's the old dude who was creeping inside, and Benny's not there anymore.
Oh, no. Oh, no. And this is what you get for running in the woods in the dark. And then we go to a Lost in the 50s drive-in, and they've got pies and coffee and corn dogs and hamburgers and hot dogs and onion rings and french fries and sandwiches. And I was really hungry when we watched this episode. I was very hungry now, but those things all sound very good, and I would like them all. Like, as a buffet.
Sam and Dean are getting food. They are getting food there. And Sam is on the phone with Martin about a vamp kill in Louisiana. And Dean calls out. He's like, "You being crazy, Martin? Like, WTF?" And Sam's like, "Oh, yeah, he's been discharged. He's back on the job. So I'm helping him get back into the hunter game by tracking Benny."
Right, which is just a douche thing to do. And yeah, so, like, while they're talking over this, Dean is also just getting dreamy over the etouffee that is in Louisiana, as you do. But also, at that point, could you see a scuff mark, like, on Dean's face?
A scuff mark?
If you didn't, like, so if you, while you're watching the scene, if you go back and you look in the car, like, he is got, like, some scuff marks, like, some, like, scabs that are, like, on his forehead. So, Diana, I'd like to, like, why do you think he has those on his face? Because that didn't happen in the last episode. So
no,
why
I don't
why
know.
Does Jensen Ackles have these scratches on his face?
That's a good question.
Take a guess.
It sounds like a continuity error. It sounds like he was doing a fight scene for something else and they shot out of order.
Okay. So that's a real thing that's on Jensen Ackles' face. Okay. I am going to share you the story of this, and let's see how this fucking goes. And it's maybe I'll just try doing this. Okay, that, and I'm gonna see if you hear audio. No, you don't hear audio. Son of a bitch. Why? Why do you do this to me? Okay, let's try this another way. So put a pause here to mark so Dave can go in and show this. So see. Let's see. I don't know why we don't test this shit out before. Because it's more fun this way when we do it on the fly.
Bronzo, we've had a long dinner that probably involved wine. And Jensen, And Jensen, for whatever reason, looks at me and goes, "Slap me in the face." I'm not one to be told twice, so I rear guy and just, and he's like, "Oh, dude!" Pulls out half a tooth. So it's like, "I didn't mean like that." I'm like, "You said slap me in the face, man." I'm like, "I'm loose. Like, what am I doing?" Then I carried on.
Yeah, just so you know. So that was the spirit with which we went into a wrestling match. Like, that had just happened, and we were like, you know what we should probably do right now? We should move the coffee table in the hotel room, and we should just, you know, try to kill each other. And we did. We really wrestled pretty seriously.
Pretty vigorously.
Pretty vigorously. There was one point when, and I, you know, we were all, we'd had so much tea that we really couldn't feel. We couldn't really feel anything anymore. And and I was like, you know, I'm wrestling Jared, and Jared is, he's a little guy. And at one point, he had me pinned, and he was pushing on my arm in some way, but a normal person would have been like, all right, I tap out, I'm done. But I was like,
Misha is now those.
Fuck him, I'm not going to tap out. I'm not tapping out. And so he kept going, and then there was a sound that came from my elbow.
A couple, like two.
And Cliff was like, that's it. Cliff came from the sidelines and removed Jared because there was an audible sound from my elbow. It wasn't a big deal. Like 6 months later, it was almost back to normal.
I think I went into Misha maybe a week or two or three or four later when he worked again. And I was like, dude, that was a wild night. I put my hand to, like, in my eye, and he was like, you gotta go higher than this right now. And I was
like, no, but you had like a...
Bruce Rib,
and Jensen had like a big scab over his whole face from a run burn and a broken tooth.
Pretty sure my elbow was hurting.
Yeah, we did a good job.
It's an interesting wrestling match when the smallest guy in the room weighs 180 pounds. Like that shouldn't be when damage going down.
That's how we prepare for stage combat.
So that is how Jensen's face got that that scab across it. So if you go back and rewatch, the episode, you will see that. And I just, one, that's just hot. So I'm like, so really, like, it, like, it's like dudes like imagining chicks get together for slumber parties and we have pillow fights and
pillow
shit
fights.
And I'm like, what,
we're like wrestling,
so like rip off your shirts and
hurt
fight
each other.
So I wish I could have seen that, but anyways, so yes, the crazy caller was Martin and Sam has been tracking him for the past week.
Yeah, so Dean is pissed, but like, fine, we'll go look into this if there's supposedly a vampire victim. So they drive to Louisiana and meet Martin at a motel where Martin is acting kind of sketch. He's definitely,
yeah. And so this motel, though, so what, you know, one, beyond venue, Louisiana, that's the sign when they come in. So they're staying at the Baudelaire. And the Baudelaire has rooms for rent by the hour, the weekly and monthly, and it says there's reasonable rates, housekeeping, and clean linens. But it's like, if it says hourly, you should just go, right? Like, I don't think you should. But this also looks like a very cool place. Like, yes, does it look like someone could be doing crack in, like, the next floor? But it looks like a place that could be a nice rehabbed Airbnb. Anyway, so sure. in the Baudelaire, Martin is just cracking out.
Yeah, he's a little out there, and basically, Martin gives a lowdown that he's working at a gumbo shop, goes by the name Roy, and all that. And Dean's kind of like asking Martin, like, "Are you all there? Are you on a full charge?" And Martin says, "A little shock therapy in the morning is all he needs."
And I can just, so, I'm pretty sure he's giving himself the shock therapy. Like, he's just going outside with some, like, jumper cables and his truck battery and just.
That's not usually how that treatment is administered. Anyways, I'm not a doctor. But basically, like, what comes down to is he never saw Benny kill anybody. He just thinks it's sus. And he's convinced it's a vamp because Benny's a vamp. Period. The end. Dean's like, nah. I'm not convinced. This is not going to be a fucking witch hunt, and I'm going to figure this out. And Martin's just like, "How the fuck is does a Winchester owe a vampire anything?" But Dean's like, "Too fucking bad. I'm going to go figure this out. I'll be back in a few hours. Bye."
Well, and he literally asked Sam for these hours, right? And he's talking more to Sam than to Martin.
Oh, and, he is. He's ignoring Martin. Dean is not sold on Martin being involved in shit.
Yeah, and I don't understand. Well, I do. I think Sam's just being butthurt and lashing out at Dean and doing this and lashing out because Dean loves Benny and he doesn't like being the second. I don't know. So there's something like just. I don't feel like a rational Sam would be making these are all anti-Sam behaviors.
It's very odd.
Sam should be we give a vampire a chance, right? And also like maybe the crazy guy is fucking crazy. Sam's like, okay, you can have a couple of hours, no more.
Yeah. It's weird. Anyways, so Sam kind of gets Martin calmed down a little bit, and while Dean leaves, and then Sam gets a flashback.
But Martin wants Dean to go behind Dean's back, which is immediately I hate I came into this hating Martin because I knew what happened during this episode, so I already had extra Martin hate, but. You want to go behind his, Martin. This is all, it's just, this episode makes me so frustrated and so mad, and I just want to take Sam and just, maybe,
The episode is full of lies. There's so much fucking lying and shittiness to each other in this episode, all around, and I'll just call it out now.
Yeah, so, maybe, I want to, go back to where, in that YouTube thing where Sam was, and then Jensen asked me to slap him. I want to slap Sam. Real bad. Yeah. But I don't know. It's just, we're about to this horse shit of a flashback, whatever. I'm going to go look up recipes for boudin.
So Sam and Amelia are at a house and they got the dog and she's trying to figure out what she's going to say to Dawn. And Sam and Amelia agree they don't want to give each other up, but she needs a few days to clear her head. Okay, that's two different things you just said there, ma'am, but whatever. Dean's going to go get some fucking gumbo, so that's what matters now. Or is he getting gumbo? What's he getting? He was going
to
get...
Oh, so we went to the cafe. But... So we're done with the flashback. We were to the cafe. Yeah. Let's make a point. We're done. Okay, so we have transitioned, and there are a lot more people at this cafe this time. It all is lit up. Yeah. It's very cute. There's all sorts of things. And Elizabeth has dropped down a menu in front of Dean. There's just I know what you want. Well, he's I know what I want. And she's let me guess. You want the gumbo.
Mm-hmm. And he thought he wanted the gumbo, but then he saw that they have pie.
Woo! This is PB's Playhouse. It would be the pie is the secret word of the day.
Pie is the word of the day.
Yeah, so we're doing a giveaway. We don't know how this is going to work. But so the reason, I've got this pie thing that we're going to ship to somebody, and it smells really good. And my house smells like cherry pie. And your house can smell like cherry pie. So Dean is fucking with us because basically he's I want pie. And then she's pecans is special. And I would be
but they show cherry pie on the screen.
Yeah. And so I'd be I don't want pecan pie. I want cherry pie. Why do you want pecan pie, Dean? She just showed you cherry pie. So.
Well, it's cherry pie on the counter, but she says pecan's the pie of the day. And she goes to get it for him. And guess what? They're fucking out of pecan pie.
Yeah.
So Dean gets no fucking pie after this whole thing.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
So the secret word of the day, and we'll figure out, is going to be pecan. If you say pecan, you can't get anything. Yeah. The word is pecan. And I also really don't like pecan pie.
Really?
No, it's too sweet.
It's not my favorite, but I like it.
I can eat the underneath the pecans by itself, and then I can eat the pecan separately. You can split it, and then it's okay. Anyway, so pecans are aware of the day. Also, there is a pictures on the register, and there's a picture of Benny with his arms around Elizabeth. And this has the timeline of this seems to me it seems weird. Well, he says that he's been working there for 2 weeks. It seems like they just got out of purgatory like a couple of days ago. But I guess like time is like...
No, it's been a longer time than that. Yeah. It's been like a couple months.
I don't know. But like long enough for like them to like be chummy enough that she has a picture of him on the register. Like,
I don't know. That 2 weeks seems a little short for that. But either way.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Yeah. So, Dean's trying to get a hold of Benny. He tells Elizabeth this, and she's like, well, he's like, I'll leave my number. And apparently he's gone fishing for a few days or some shit. But he's also very flirty when he hands his number to her. So he leaves another voicemail for Benny, and we cut to Benny where he sees Dean's voicemail while looking at a dead girl's body. And is burying a body while then washes his hands.
It's like a
weird like time thing.
I know, but you can't just jump over Benny digging. Now we love a man digging a grave on this show, and you can't just like go over it. So it's Benny's turn to dig. But I want to know, like, he takes off like his outer shirt, and he has like this long sleeve undershirt with suspenders on, and like it's Louisiana, and that's hot as shit. Like,
quite warm.
Just take that. Why is that shirt still on? And then, like, he goes to, like, wash the blood off his hands. He's got the other shirt back on already. Like, damn it, Benny.
You can't water all over it.
It's fucking gross, man.
Not practical.
It's not practical.
Not practical.
Not practical.
Well, Dean has found him and is armed and ready to confront Benny.
And he asks Benny, damn it, I'm already, like, in their couple zone. But he asks Benny, who he planted. And I really like that phrase for burying things.
Planted.
Yeah, planted, right? And that sent me down a rabbit hole looking up other euphemisms and phrases for death and burial, because that's what I do now that I don't have a job. And I found this list on the website Cake, which is oddly not about cake, but a funeral and end-of-life planning site. So on there, Kate White has written about 36 popular euphemisms for death and examples, and we're going to go over a few because we don't have time to go over 36. So what we're going to do, Diana, is I'm going to give you the definition or some kind of hint, and then you just need to guess, like, what the euphemism or this phrase for death is, right? So, like, I planted him, right? So our first one is going to be easy, so you get the hang of this, right? So this euphemism refers to the typical depth of a below-ground grave.
Like, what, 6 feet under?
Yes, yes. So that is the euphemism for death, right? So he's not dead, he's 6 feet under, right?
6 feet under, yeah.
Because we're nice and we don't say people are fucking died. I don't know. All right, so number two. There are a few different stories about the etymology of this popular euphemism. One common theory is that GI benefits paid out after a soldier's death so you could pay the mortgage on the family land.
Oh, it bought the farm.
Yes, yeah. Interesting, right? Like, that's. Okay, so this one. While nobody is quite sure of its exact origin, one rumor is this phrase refers to as a method to commit suicide by hanging, or that in a moment in death, a person stretches their legs and might kick a receptacle placed by them.
Oh, kick the bucket?
Kick the bucket. There are actually quite a few other, like, theories of where the kick the bucket came from. Apparently there's much controversy over that. Controversy! Woo! Right, number four. This comes from the flowers that often grow above burial plots.
Pushing Daisies.
Yes, Pushing of Daisies. Also a fun television show. Alright. Often used as a description for murders committed by organized crime and burial at sea.
Swimming with fishes.
Sleep with the fishes.
Sleeping with fishes. That's what I meant. Sorry. Sleep with the fishes. Yeah.
You could also swim with the fishes, but I think you do that when you're alive.
You can do that when you're alive. Yeah, that's not dead.
All right. Number six.
We've been swimming with fishes.
Diana punched a shark.
Almost.
All right, number six, I'm just going to give you one word. Vermicomposting.
What?
Vermicomposting. It is a thing that I tried to do, but then I had to bring the things that were creating.
Worm food.
Yes, become worm food. Vermiculture, vermicomposting. Yes, all right. And this last one, I just really like this. So this Australian idiom is possibly derived from shortening the word carcass.
Oh,
it's carked it. But that'll, you know, my mate, he just, you know, he carked it. I don't know. It just sounds like a fun. Imagine somebody who could do an Australian accent saying that. Because I could try and do it. This would not be successful. No. So, but it is it's a fun thing. It's just, that's a fun turn of phrase for
it
death.
Is.
Yes, yes. So, all right. So back to our show. And Benny did not answer the calls because he did not want to get Dean involved.
Well, basically what it comes down to is Benny claims that a rogue vampire named Desmond from the good old days has shown up and wants Benny to join his new nest, and that he's basically crewing up his nest and is killing people around Benny to try to force Benny to join.
Which I don't think is a good strategy.
Because Benny hasn't always been this cute and cuddly.
Yes, and while he is cute and cuddly, I just don't feel like this is a good way to get your gang. Like, no? If I'm like, bitch, be in my gang, I'm going to kill your mom. Like, I'm not going to join your gang after you kill my mom. You know, like, we're not going to be friends. You can't sit with us.
Well, I don't know. He thinks this is like a strategy, and that this is because also these like vamps that have been around for a long time and don't have any human connections probably don't understand this. So anyways, Benny's like, yeah, he's just trying to fuck up my life. I'm in my own hometown. I've got this job at the cafe. I've got someone to hold me accountable because Elizabeth is my great granddaughter. Surprise. And I know about Martin following me, and that's fine.
Okay, so slow down. That was important news that you just dropped. So this girl that, you know, we had some perv earlier being like, can I take a swing at her? And then like had Dean being like, baby, here's my number. That is Benny's great granddaughter, which also means Benny had kids. We didn't really talk about that, and
which we haven't really gotten to.
And that makes me.
We talk about his love. We talk about his love after he became a vampire, but not his human life.
Right, and this feels very True Blood to me. Like this is like when Bill Compton came in, and like he had his great great grand. You know, that was her name, and like they were fucking, and they're like, ew. But that's not what's happening here. At least Benny was not porking her. They're just working together in a diner.
Yeah. Well, Benny knows Martin's tracking him. But Dean's like, look, you've got two dead bodies and you've got two hunters fucking on you. This is not cool. So Desmond's got to go. And Benny needs to sit this fucking out and let Dean take care of it. But Benny's like, no, I'm not going to do that. So they can't do it. So, oh well. Dean goes back to try to talk Martin and Sam into stepping back and holding off.
My note says Dean doesn't think he should expose himself. And then I'm just laughing because I'm thinking about Benny exposing himself.
Well, Dean's going to try to talk Martin and Sam into standing down on this one. And Martin is aggressively unconvinced.
Impounding whiskey, like, in not a healthy way. Like, why is anybody, like, being okay with what's happening here?
So Sam is, like, trying to rationalize. He's like, hold on, are we just really going to go on trust here? And Dean's like, look, Benny's never let me down. And so this is real snarky kind of like Sam and Dean thing going on.
And it's Sam's pretty like, bad. Nope. Like, 'cause the way he says it, like, it is like very pointedly at intense. Sam. And it's so passive aggressive. And Sam's just like goes like bright passive aggressively back, which is the only response you can do as an emotionally unstable person.
So Sam's like, fuck it, I'm going to go after Benny. And he's like, y'all be lucky to get out alive. And Martin punches Dean in the fucking face, says, tells Dean that he made his choice. And they handcuff Dean to the fucking radiator in the motel room and leave him there. And as they're going down the hall, Martin's raving to Sam about how, you know, and how their father should have been like, take it, you know, he'd be.
John would have taken you out to the woodshed, and I would take you out too. And Sam then throws him up against the wall, and so then I have like this horrible, like, oh my god, now Sam is like physically like throwing this tiny like crazy person like against a wall, which is not good.
Sam's the one that brought him into this shit.
I hate all of this. And Sam's just like getting in line, but Martin won't stop poking the moose, and he can't just poke the moose, and he's just like, you can't, like, oh, it just shit. And he okay. pokes him so bad that it goes into a flashback.
So Sam has a flashback. He's drinking a beer at a bar, and a dude shows up. Obviously, it's Don, Amelia's husband, and he's like, I'm not here to fight. We're just in the situation. I don't blame y'all, but it's weird. I came back to this, and part of her loves me. Part of her loves you, but we got to respect her decision about what she wants. And he throws beer money on the bar and tells the bartender, Sam's going to need another one, and leaves. It's real kind of weird and disrespectful. But trying to be like super cool, like, look how mature I'm being, but it's actually disrespectful AF. That's my hot take.
Cool. I was looking at recipes of red beans and rice, so I don't know what happened. All right, so Dean is unhandcuffing himself from the radiator, which takes him like 2 seconds, which is hot. But
and he calls Benny, and Benny's like, I'm not scared. And Dean's like, no, Sam's going to really try to kill you. Like, he's not really worried about Martin. Sam will try to kill you.
Do not underestimate my gigantic brother. Like, you've met my gigantic brother. He's a moose. Like, he's... And Benny, like, you're a dude. Like, but like that, ooh, that fight would be nasty. Like...
Well, Dean's like, we've got to go after Desmond. You need to lay low. And Benny's like, nope. My fight, I can draw Desmond out. Son of a bitch. So Benny's going to go after Desmond.
Well, Benny won't tell him, won't tell Dean where Desmond is until until Benny's allowed to go with him. And then we get a Benny just being like, are you in or are you out? And so thanks, Benny Klum, for that moment.
Well, Sam and Martin are in the woods looking for Benny. And then Sam gets a text from fucking Amelia saying that she needs help and to come quick. WTF.
He just ditches Martin in the woods.
Martin finds like a photo of Benny and Elizabeth on the ground.
Well, it's a picture that Benny was looking at this earlier when Dean called. But and like the fact that Sam just gets like in his car and the station wagon just drives off. It's like, fuck you, Martin. I'm going.
Bye. Bye.
This is the best part of this episode. Like, if we could have,
I think Sam realized that he done fucked up bringing Martin into this shit. And this is when he's like, what the fuck was I thinking?
I don't think so. I don't know. But Martin's just like, Winchester's mad. I just want they should just like have never found him, and like he just gets eaten by an alligator, and that's how it ends.
That would have been, that'd be better than what happens.
Yep. So, baby's like, we come from that to baby pulling up to the camper where Benny is just chilling with his machete.
In like a shipyard, and they go to trunk, and they've got, Dean's like loading up on giant syringes of, is this dead man's blood?
It's dead man's blood.
I assume?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was also like, ooh, or is it, did they save a bunch of the Leviathan infected blood that also upset vampires? But I guess not. It has to be dead.
That would have been better. Like, that would have made more sense. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it is the Leviathan blood.
I mean, I guess both
blood.
Work. I just thought it was interesting.
I thought dead man's blood doesn't kill them. It just makes them all, right?
I don't
remember. Okay, sorry. Lore fell. But yeah, so like,
I think it, you know, it kills them. I think it kills them. But either way, so does the Leviathan.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I've been good with the Leviathan blood. Too.
Both could.
So, but they're walking around with flashlights, and this is where I just say you need thermal imagers, man. Like, you can't just be walking around these dark things without a thermal imager. Like, you should be able to see this little, like, and I don't know what the heat sensor a vampire would have, but I mean they're cold blooded. I'm guessing, but I'm sure they would still show up.
Maybe.
Like, I'm relying on the fact that I can use a thermal imager to see a snake. So I'm assuming you can see a vampire.
That's probably true. So they go into this building with machetes and there's something following them. And all of a sudden we've got a fight right away. Desmond's fucking there. Dean's getting beat up. The syringe gets shattered in his hand. But, and Dean gets like a cut on his neck. It's real weird. But Desmond's dumb enough to lick his hand after the syringe breaks in it. I don't know why the fuck he would do that, but okay. Good, I guess, because it distracts him enough that Benny can behead him. Yeah. It's very odd. But we do get a scene here where we see vampire tendency Benny, which is we get a heartbeat noise and he is fixated on Dean's neck.
He is. And just like that pulsing and that thumping just reminds Benny of all those nights that they spent together in purgatory.
Anyway, so outside.
Dean gives Benny this line of things that like, you're not safe. Like, hunters are going to come for you. But I'm like, but why? Like, yeah, it's really why? Like, who's Martin going to tell? Like, put Martin in the loony bin. Like, fuck, like, case closed. Bye.
Nobody's listening to Martin. Yeah, because it's like, oh, well, his life is over in his hometown.
I don't think so.
Like, and, like, I don't know. It's real weird.
None of these things implicated Benny. Like, he's fine. It's just Martin. Get rid of Martin. You've got no Benny problem.
Well, and Sam. But either way, so Dean's like, yeah, you got to go deep underground.
No, but it's not safe. Because what Dean is saying, like, other hunters. Like, it was his implication that,
I know,
like,
but yeah, that's the main thing, but yeah. So he's like, there's one thing I've got to do first. Okay. So we cut to Sam driving, who's trying to call Amelia. Her phone calls aren't going through, so now we get a flashback. And it's him.
Because it's 783 miles from Carrickrow, Louisiana to Kermit, Texas. And that's an 11-hour drive. So you've got nothing but time for flashbacks.
Yeah. But that's not really feasible in the storyline either. But okay. Sam's packing and tells her he's leaving. And she's like, oh, no, Don must have threatened you. Yeah. He's like, no, I'm just doing the right thing. I want to give you a chance. And she's like, no. Anyways, it's stupid. So back to the cafe, or back at Goodry's Cafe, and Benny is there with Dean, and they're like shaking their hands, and Dean's leaving. And Dean calls Martin, who is walking alone at night, and tells him, hey, by the way, Benny was telling the truth. It was another vamp, and we ganked him together. Fuck you, brah.
Yeah, is this all resolved? Is resolved.
Yeah. Do not follow him. There's nothing to follow. It's all done. And Dean tells Martin to find a new line of work.
He should have told him, go back to your crazy house. You belong. Like, go paint some finger paints, whatever. So we cut to Benny driving and his phone rings.
And it's not Elizabeth. It's Martin trying to draw him back to the cafe. And he's really grossly eating this cherry pie.
Yeah, he's just murdering the cherry pie that I should have. And he has told her that he left his phone on his bus. And like, this is all, it's just creep fucking central.
Yeah, he's lying to Elizabeth to use her phone to call Benny to draw him back. And tells Benny he's got 45 minutes to get there. So Benny gets there and everything's like turned off and lights are off. And Martin has Elizabeth tied to a chair and tells Benny, lay down your arms, you unholy thing. It has a knife to Elizabeth's throat.
Yeah, it's all not good. And Benny like is begging him to stop. And crazy Martin cuts her neck enough to make her bleed and like make Benny vamp out.
Well, and he knows that too. He's trying to do it because he wants to prove that Benny's a fucking monster. He has decided that Benny's a monster, so he is going to do whatever he can to manifest that. So it's sad. And then, but Martin's like, don't worry, he won't feed on his own flesh and blood. Is that a lore thing? I guess I don't know.
No, it's not a lore thing. It's just he's basically spilling the beans that this is your great grandfather and he hasn't told you. He's being a dick because he knows that Benny hasn't told her that he's his great grandfather. He's just being a dick. It's not a lore thing.
And he's not just a dick, he's a fucking bitch because he's hiding behind Elizabeth this whole time. While he talks about being her, the grandfather, the great grandfather, and all this kind of stuff, and being a monster. So Mitch, Martin hides behind Benny to tell all of this to Elizabeth. And finally, Benny's just like, what the fuck do you want? And Martin's like, your head on a stake. So he's like, all right. So freaking Benny walks up and lays his head down on the fucking counter, tears in his eyes as he looks at Elizabeth, and I'm dying.
Ew. That's so sweet.
And dickhead fucking Martin rambles on about a fucking place in hell and all that kind of shit. Raises his knife to cut off Benny's head. While Elizabeth screams. And I write sad faces and no with exclamation points on my notebook.
Yeah. And we come from that to Sam racking his gun.
Yeah. Because now he's going to clear the yard at Amelia's house, apparently. Where he creepily looks through the window.
Yep. No, this is good.
The large picture window, stands in the middle of her yard, looking through her big picture window, right at the sofa, where Dawn and Amelia are sitting together, smiling with beverages.
Yep. That's being a happy couple. And he leaves.
Yeah. So, and we've got Feel All Right by Steve Earle playing as Dean drives down the road. His phone rings, and it's Elizabeth. We see her covered in blood and crying, and she won't tell Dean how Roy is, but just tells him he needs to come back.
Yeah, it just so kind of like sobs out this like hysterical, like can you come? Yeah. And he just like flips a bitch immediately and just speeds back. He speeds back to find Elizabeth. And I want you to know that every time that I type Google that, Google tries to put my last name in afterwards. So it was very annoying typing up this episode. Thank you, Google.
You're welcome. Well, she's crying on and like just very shaken, and points him inside. And he gently places a bandana.
You know, he puts a dirty rag on her neck. He puts a dirty rag on her fucking wound, and now she's gonna get staph infection. So
exactly, I was gonna say this. Don't get an infection, bitch. Here you go. He goes inside, and there's just so much blood and flipped furniture, and one body. Martin's dead. It's not Benny. Yay!
Yeah. Yeah.
So we cut to Sam at the same bar that he was at in his flashback.
Because that's the only bar in Kermit, Texas, I can bet.
Apparently.
But it also looks like a bar, like I've been to that bar in Texas.
It's
like
a cool little country bar.
Yeah,
it's
like we've been there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he looks at the text message from Amelia and he calls the number. And we cut to Baby, where Dean is driving. And the phone is ringing in the glove box.
Wah, wah.
It's Sam, because Dean swapped Amelia's number in Sam's phone with one of their burner phone numbers a while back, just so he would have this in pocket if he ever needed this plan. Whoa. Okay, this is brilliant and so fucked at the same time,
yep,
right?
Yep, yep.
So fucked. He says he knew it was the only way he'd get Sam to lay off on Benny. Sam asks if there's any casualties. Dean says Martin had it coming, and Sam does not want to hear anything else Dean has to say, so he hangs up and does a shot.
Right before he gets back in the room, which seems like a great idea, and he turns around.
Well, wait. Who's there?
But Amelia, because there's no way your giant ass could go inside anybody's yard without them seeing you, Mr. Padalecki. I'm pretty sure like the entire neighborhood saw the big old moose just like walking outside with a gun.
He was reported in next door 17 times.
everybody's Ring camera was like, we saw a giant white dude with a gun walking through
your veteran husband who just returned from a war zone definitely noticed some guy creeping in your yard. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, so that's how it ends.
Yeah, because she saw him. So,
do we have a casting couch?
We do.
Casting couch. It's the casting couch. Were they on that show that time with that guy? La 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 la.
So we will start with Elizabeth. Was played by Kathleen Monroe. She's been in episodes of shows like Ugly Betty, NCIS LA, CSI New York, NCIS New Orleans. That was fun. She was played Janet / Jane in The Survival of the Dead. She was in a couple episodes, ongoing character of Law and Order Organized Crime, and also ongoing character in Law and Order Toronto. We've got our, goodness, sorry, I lost my spot. Woo! Don Richardson was played by Paul Campbell, and he has done a lot of Hallmark Christmas movies, but interesting, was also a writer on many Hallmark Christmas movies.
Did
a little bit of both. He was Billy in Battlestar Galactica. It's an ongoing character. He was also a character named Billy in Knight Rider in the 2009 ongoing character there. And episodes of shows like Days of Our Lives, How I Met Your Mother, Scrubs, and more. Desmond, our vampire that we didn't see for very long, but he was played by Chad Rock. He's been in episodes of shows like Bates Motel, iZombie, and Once Upon a Time. We'll see him again. He's in multiple episodes. And we've seen before, and we'll see again, multiple episodes of Supernatural. He was ongoing character, or repeat character I should say, in The Flash as Clyde, repeat character in Siren named Chris, repeat character in Virgin River, which is pretty popular right now, and was Boyle in War for Planet of the Apes.
There we go. So what do you think?
I loved, hated this episode. Does that make sense?
Well, what was the love? What were your roses? What were your thorns?
Well, you know my rose.
It was Benny digging a grave, right? So,
well, just in general, I like Benny. I find him endearing. I'm a Benny fan, so I like Benny. I would say that my thorns, well, A, I don't like Martin either, but because it's fictional television, I can cheer on when he fucking dies. I don't like to do that to real humans, but fictional characters, sure, all day.
It's a fictional character that was portraying you're supposed to want to kill him, right?
So. Oh, yeah. Well, at the level, though, of the... trying to think if there's a good word, there's a really good vocabulary word, and it's not coming to me, but it was like the levels of like lies and betrayal between everybody in this just was very off-putting to me.
Well, I think it was an agenda, right? Like things like,
and like Sam's lying to Dean about getting Martin involved. Dean's been waiting to lie to Sam by reprogramming his fucking phone. Like, you know what I mean? Like all these like layers of like deception and manipulation. That's what it was. Those are the words I'm looking for. It was deception and manipulation. I find that very off-putting.
But they don't make for healthy relationships.
No. No, they don't. But yeah, so that's the parts I didn't like, but the story was good. I thought it was an interesting story. Otherwise, with like vampire going after Benny's people because they want Benny to join the nest. I wish we had more of that story and less fucking stupid flashbacks and dumb shit with Martin.
That's really interesting, right? Like you could have done this without the Martin, but it also is And it definitely got emotional responses, right? Like, there is, so I had a lot of emotion and a lot of feels to this because of, you know, basically the idea, a lot of this is you're angry because people have these opinions that are set in stone that they aren't listening to facts and they're not changing them. And that is so frustrating as a human being. Right. And you just sit there
or just even open to other perspectives.
Right. And just having Sam being like shutting down, like not listening to Dean. And clearly to me, listen, like there's something else beyond this. It can't be about vampires because of Lenore. Like this isn't a Sam thing. It doesn't make sense for Sam.
It doesn't. It's not in Sam's character.
Yeah. I think that's also why this is very frustrating. This would make more sense for Dean. Why is, you know, and so yeah, it's playing against what we know as a characters, and also like, but at least I will say this, I think,
and they're just being outright shitty to each other at this point, and that's getting uncomfortable.
Yeah, because they were gone for a year and they don't know how to reconcile like what happened over that year. But I will tell you, I think we're done with the Amelia flashbacks. I think we have brought
she's
there, and we brought her up to the present because I can't take any more of his shit. I can't take any more of that Days of Our Lives fucking bullshit. No offense, Jensen. Although that was, which one, I don't remember which one he was on, but was that Days of Our Lives? Yeah. It's soap opera bullshit without the monsters. Give me if you're gonna like try and like work out some relationship shit, you need to put some monsters in there, and I can listen to you. But I don't want to watch this otherwise.
Yeah.
So
reasonable.
Yeah. But who knows what'll happen with Benny? I feel like who knows what's gonna come. So all right, with that, I think this is where we'll end it. What will become of Benny, Denny?
Poor Benny had to go on the
road. Destiel, and will they all return? Will Sam and Dean ever love again?
This and more.
This and more on our next episode. Cheers, sir.
Cheers, bitch.
Devil's Trap Podcast is a Don't Get It production. Meow.
Devil's Trap Podcast is part of the Ship It Studios Podcast Network. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Devil's Trap Podcast. You can follow us on Instagram at Devil's Trap Podcast, Twitter at Devil's Trap Pod, or you can email us at devilstrap@devilstrappodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe, leave reviews, and share with all your friends. We're at all your favorite podcast outlets and at devilstrappodcast.com. I'm Babe. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.